So as you can see, it's going to be a little bit of an epic day today, which I'm excited about. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to everyone watching online. My name is Ryan Levis. I'm the Norfolk campus pastor here at Grace. And we are in this series, At the Movies, and we're excited to dive into these Hollywood blockbusters. And I know that this is a little bit different than what we normally do, and so I just want to take a second and say why we're doing it, because it really goes beyond just having a little bit of fun or, you know, doing a little gimmick to get people interested. We really do believe this is a part and intersects with our faith in God. And so I want to give you three reasons why it's important for us to engage in something like this. And so the first reason we're doing this series, At the Movies, is because all truth is God's truth. One of the main places that we find what's true about God, what's true about the world, is in Scripture, but we also recognize that God created the world. And so we see what's true all around us, and He's put it there for us to discover, and pieces of art and literature and, yes, movies even, when they say something true about relationships, when they say something true about our world, that is something that God put there. And so we can recognize that as we engage with something like a movie. Second reason, we want to engage culture, not ignore it. A lot of times in communities of faith, there's this tendency to get really defensive or kind of protective against the influences of the outside world, and we don't really believe that's what Jesus has called us to. He wants us to be light. He wants us to be salt in our world and help engage and not ignore what's going on around us. And so engaging with movies and culture is one of the ways we can do that. And then thirdly, we want to bring a critical lens to our entertainment. And this doesn't just mean, you know, figuring out what's wrong with entertainment or the messages that we're receiving, but also finding out what's true, because almost everything, you can find some piece or some kernel of what God has put inside of us as His creation from movies. And I don't know about you, but I love movies. And if you're anything like most Americans, you probably watched one in the last month. And so why do we do that? And how do we do that well and not just as a passive consumer, but kind of engaging with the themes that we're being presented with? And so I'm excited to talk about Interstellar, one of my favorite movies. And it's kind of this epic movie, as we said, about space travel and time, space continuum, and, you know, black holes and physics and stuff like that. But what we're going to see is, even with 3 hours of all of that happening, really what it boils down to is this movie is about relationship. It's about relationship. And one of the reasons we can talk about relationship in this context is because space and time are really important when it comes to relationships. And actually, one of the things that's most hard about relationships is when you have a gap in space or time. Maybe you're here today and you are in a long-distance relationship, or you have a spouse that's gone on deployment or lives somewhere else currently. And the space and the time difference and all of that is creating this gap, and it makes it incredibly difficult. Maybe you have adult children who live in a different state or a different country even, and that space, that time, creates a barrier. I've been experiencing this in my own life recently. I just had a nephew that was born this past year, and I hate when people show me pictures of their nephews and nieces, so I'm going to show you a picture of mine, okay? Because he's amazing and he's cute. So this is Wilder Eugene Bucknum. We're going to check out a picture of him. Yeah, he's great. He lives in Philadelphia with his mom, my sister, and so this is him at Easter this past year. We got another one when he's a little bit younger. So he's a cutie, and I actually have this space-time issue with Wilder, because he lives in Philadelphia. I saw him when he was 2 weeks old, and then it was probably like 8 months until I got to see him again, and that was just a few weeks ago. It was amazing. I love that kid, but it's hard. It's hard to be far away. It's hard to think about, oh man, okay, can I get up there this weekend? Can I make this happen? Time and space make relationships really difficult, and I think when we think about a relationship that's really difficult because of this, I think we can all agree that having a relationship with our Heavenly Father, having a relationship with God, is really difficult because of these dynamics. God is kind of on this other plane of existence. He's not in space and time like we are, at least not initially. And so He's far away. He's distant. We can't always feel Him. We can't really see Him. We can't really understand Him. And so how do we relate to Him? Some of the things I want to talk about today, and I just want to dive into a couple passages where we see this reality about God, that He is other, that He is bigger, that He is higher than we are. One of the first places we're going to look is in a letter that the leader Paul wrote in the church in the first century, and he talks about God's grace to him, and then he kind of breaks out in this almost like worship service. In the middle of 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "To the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So even as he can recognize God's grace towards him in Jesus, he says, you're the King, you're eternal, and we are not. You're immortal, and we are not. You're invisible. We can't always see you. We can't always comprehend you, but you deserve the honor, the glory forever and ever. Another place where it talks about this dynamic is in the book of Revelation, where God often refers to himself in this phrase, the Alpha and the Omega, which are just the first and the last letters in the Greek alphabet. So he's saying, I'm the A and the Z. I'm the beginning and the end, the Lord God who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This recognition that God is on a different plane than you and I. And this is oftentimes what makes it hard for us to relate to God. I mean, even if you're here and you're not even sure you believe in God, I'd imagine that maybe you've tried praying here or there. Maybe you've tried praying about the same thing a few times just to see what would happen. And after a few days or a few weeks, kind of look up at the sky and you say, is anyone listening? Nothing's happening. Doesn't feel like anything's out there, anyone's out there. What do we do with that? Maybe you're a follower of Jesus and you've been struggling a certain way. You've been asking again and again for help. Please God, I'm crying out to you. I'm calling out to you. It doesn't feel like something's happening. Can I get a little help? Can I get a little help, God? That's how we feel sometimes. And I love that we kind of get to engage in this movie that's going to be a little bit of an extended metaphor for us as we look at these themes of space and time and relationship. And the first clip that we're going to dive into kind of has to deal with this separation, this distance between people who love each other. And so just to give you some context, I know many people haven't seen the movie, so that's totally fine. We're going to get all the context for us. But basically, this guy Cooper, or Coop, as he's called, is Matthew McConaughey's character. And he is a pilot, and so he's been chosen for a special mission. Basically, planet Earth has not been going well. There's been lots of famines. Just the natural world is kind of deteriorating. And so human beings are not going to be able to exist on planet Earth for much longer. And so they are going to take a space mission out into the far reaches of space to try to find planets that can sustain human life. And so he's been chosen for this mission. He doesn't know when he's going to come back. And so he has to walk into this room and talk to his daughter, Murph, and tell her that he's leaving. And she is very upset by this, obviously doesn't want her dad to go. She actually has been noticing that books have been falling off of her bookshelf, and she kind of like times it out and figures out that she thinks it's Morse code from a ghost that's telling her this message. And so we're going to dive into this clip where Cooper and Murph are talking, and you see this dynamic of relationship. So check it out.
That's exactly why you can't go. I figured out the message. One word. You know what it is? Stay. It says stay, Dad. You don't believe me. Look at the books. Look at this. It says stay. Why? You're not listening. It says stay.
For you, one for me, when I'm up there in hypersleep, or traveling near the speed of light, or near a black hole, time's gonna change for me, and it's gonna run more slowly. Now, when we get back, we're gonna compare.
Time will run differently for us?
Yeah. Maybe by the time I get back, we might even be the same age. You and me? What? Imagine that. Ah, Murph.
You have no idea when you're coming back. No idea. Oh!
Don't make me leave like this. Come on, Murph. Don't make me leave like this, Murph. I love you forever. You hear me? I love you forever. And I'm coming back. I'm coming back.
So we see space and time separating a father from his child, and you see the love that he has. I'll love you forever. I love you forever. I'm coming back. But it's going to be difficult because they're going to be separated in this way. And I think sometimes we feel that same gap with our Heavenly Father, even though we know intellectually he loves us, feels distant. And I don't know if you kind of picked up on it, but in that conversation, they realized that not even are they just going to be apart for this amount of time, but time itself is going to run differently for them. Something about being close to black holes and being out towards these places where gravity operates differently. Time can run in different ways. Time is relative, and physicists have been discovering this, which is super fascinating. And they actually had physicists like help write the movie to help like figure out and make sure that everything was right. But you see that he and his daughter are going to be on different planes of time. And I think this is actually a little bit of a picture of what it's like with us and God. Because not only is God kind of like far away or feel far away, not only does he experience time differently, but he's like on a whole other plane of time altogether. And Scripture communicates this to us in a number of places, but one of the most famous is in 2 Peter chapter 3. We read, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And we're going to go back to that part that I highlighted. That for the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. In one sense, time goes really slow for God. He can kind of dive into the minutiae and the details, and he sees it all. And yet at the same time, 1,000 years goes by like that. He's on this different plane. He experiences time differently. I kind of heard this explained by this sort of anecdote. Apparently there was this little boy, 5 or 6 years old, who was having a conversation with God. And he trying to find some stuff out about the world, and so he asked God, "Hey, God, how long is 1,000,000 years? God's like, "Hey, that's a pretty good question. Yeah, 1,000,000 years is about 1 minute. 1 minute for me." He's like, "Oh, wow, that's wild. Okay, well, God, how much is $1,000,000? God's like, "Well, $1,000,000, that's about a penny. That's about a penny." And he goes, "Whoa, okay. Okay, God, could I have a penny?" And God's like, "Yeah, I think we can work that out. Just give me a minute." And I love that that just kind of joke, that story, because it shows us that God is, even as we talk with him, even as we pray with him, he has this perspective that's different than you and me. He's operating on this different plane. And we see this actually in the movie, in a particular scene where, just to set the context, they are out in space. They're about to visit these three planets that they think might have life on them. So the first planet they come to is right next to a black hole. And so what that means is that time is going to run at a different pace on this planet. And you can see Cooper, Matthew McConaughey's character, just like kind of be upset by this because he wants to get back to his family. And so any discrepancy in time is going to be an issue. And so as they discuss this, as they figure out, are we going to do this? Are we going to be able to fulfill this mission and save everyone back on Earth? They kind of have a debate about it. So let's dive into another clip. Let's watch.
But Miller still looks good, though, right? Because she's coming up fast.
Mm-hmm.
With one complication. The planet is much closer to Gargantua than we thought.
Gargantua. It's what we're calling them, the black hole. Miller's and Dr. Mann's planets both orbit it.
And Miller's is on the horizon?
Oh, it's a basketball around a hoop. Landing there takes us dangerously close, and a black hole that big has a huge gravitational pull.
Look, Look, I could swing around that neutron star to decelerate.
No, it's not that. It's time. The gravity on that planet will slow our clock compared to Earth's drastically.
Oh, how bad?
Well, every hour we spend on that planet will be 7 years back on Earth. Well, that's relativity, folks.
Well, we can just drop down there without...
Cooper,
we have a mission. Yeah, Doyle, we have a mission, and our mission, Plan A, is to find a planet that can habitate the people that are living on the Earth right now.
You can't just think about your family. Now you have to think bigger than that, all right?
I am thinking about my family and millions of other families, okay? Plan A does not work if the people on Earth are dead by the time we pull it off.
No, it doesn't. That's why there's a Plan B.
See again this love for a father. He wants to help his kids. He wants to help those who are on Earth right now. And so 1 hour to 7 years? Are you kidding me? And I think we've seen in this passage one day being like 1,000 years for God. He's operating on this different plane. He's experiencing time differently. And the question becomes, what does this mean for you and for me? How do we kind of receive this idea that God is so much bigger than us, that he, I mean, literally, I think it's 365,000 times bigger than we are in terms of one day to 1,000 years. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for you and me as we go to work tomorrow morning or raise our family this week? How can we internalize that, or is it an encouragement at all? And I want to offer us two encouragements today, and the first one we're going to find as we've been looking at these different passages and different clips is maybe we should consider that God's timing might be better than we think. Maybe God's timing in your life is better than you think. He's so much bigger. He sees the whole picture. He sees your whole life stretch out before you. He sees mine. So maybe the job situation that feels such a big deal and such a discontentment right now in your life, and you want it to be over and you want to move on to the next thing and it feels like it's lasting forever, is actually just a piece of the larger story. And God knows better than me, or maybe even you, of how to run the universe. His timing might be better than mine or yours. I was actually meeting with a couple this past week, had lunch with them, and they have big dreams of God, what God wants to do through them, and they have all these gifts they want to share with the world, and yet they're working these jobs that feel really menial and mundane, and really they're only doing it to provide for their 3 daughters. And they've been doing it for a few years now, and it feels like it's been forever, but I'm just wondering if God views their life and says, I have more, I'm seeing more, I'm not fazed by 5 years in a place where you don't make sense of what's happening. It makes sense to me. And were you willing to trust that? Maybe God is calling us to trust him more and his timing in our lives. I had a picture of this in my own life just recently. This past January, I decided to look into potentially buying property, buying a house, buying a condo. And I decided I ended up wanting to buy a condo, found one that I loved kind of in the downtown Norfolk area. It was perfect. Spent like 2 months like talking with my realtor, having people visit, making sure this was a good idea. Got to the point where I started to read the condo documents, and this is like we're under contract, we've agreed on a price, and I'm reading these documents, and literally like 6 months of planning has gone into this point, and I see the budget for this condominium, and some things start to look quite right, and so I call the property manager, I start to look into the amount of reserve funds, and do they have what they need to do repairs and to set themselves up for the future, and I started to realize like this is not adding up. This is actually not a well-run place, and I don't know if I really want to dive into this or tie myself to this train, you know, financially. And so literally in the span of an afternoon, it was a Friday afternoon, I had to pull out and say, no, I can't do this. I can't make this deal. And it was super disappointing, and it was really frustrating, and just kind of decided I would just stay at the apartment that I'm at now. I just renew my lease for another year. And that Wednesday, so Friday to Wednesday, got a call from a friend. Says, hey, I'm checking out this place, and I heard that your condo fell through. I was wondering if you wanted to maybe live together with me and another guy. And I was thinking, man, like, I've lived alone for a while. I kind of like it that way, not being around these other messy people. And at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to move. I'll just stay where I am. So I told him, like, it's probably going to be a no, but you know what? Just to kind of humor you, I'll visit the place, okay? I'll just come see it. just so happens that he had found this almost like suite on the 21st floor of a 21-story building in downtown Norfolk, like three blocks from where the condo was that I was almost going to buy. And the whole side of the apartment is a big window overlooking downtown Norfolk, my favorite city in the world. And after 30 minutes in this place, and I was going to be saving money on my rent. I mean, come on. I decided I had to do this. And it was this incredible moment of realizing, okay, this great thing fell through, but God saw this bigger picture. And I don't know how that all worked and if he kind of, this one fell through, so then he gave me this one or what. But if that's how God sees a bigger picture in just a six-month time span, and if we zoomed out a little bit, all of the frustration and the uncertainty and the stress of trying to buy a condo was just not really the whole picture. God was doing more. He was giving another opportunity. If we zoomed out in our lives, how much more will we see moments like that? Not just over 6 months, but over 6 years, over 60 years. What is God doing? What is he seeing that we can't see? How does he have a different perspective? Maybe, just maybe, whatever you're worried about, whatever you're frustrated at God about, can I get a little help here? Maybe his timing and his perspective is better than we immediately think. But even if we admit that, even if we admit that God is larger than we are, higher than we are, his perspective is bigger, how do I know that he actually has my best interest at heart? You know, maybe he is working on the cosmic level or the geopolitical level and he's doing these big things in the world, but does he really care about my life? Can I really trust his timing, his concern for me as a person? And so as we kind of wrestle with that question, I would love to watch another clip from Interstellar, and we see in this clip the heart of this father for his kids. And just to give us a little bit of an overview, because I think like an hour has passed since this happened, since the last clip. Basically, they've gone down to that planet where time goes slower. And they were only supposed to be there for 15 minutes, so maybe a couple years back on Earth. But their ship malfunctions, gets hit by a tidal wave. So they're down there for over 3 hours. And they get back out of the gravitational pull of this planet, and it turns out that 23 years has gone by back on planet Earth. And so what happens is Cooper has all these video messages built up from his family back home, and he kind of watches them grow up all at once. And I just want you to see his reaction, his emotions, and his affection for these people who are so far away as we check out this clip and him watching these videos. So let's watch.
We've got years of messages stored, Cooper.
Messages span 23 years.
Play it from the beginning.
Hey, Dad. Checking in. Saying hi. Finished second in school. This curly's still giving me C's, so pulled me down, but you know, second's not bad. Grandpa attended the ceremony. I met another girl, Dad. I really think this is the one. Name's Lois. Sarah right there. Murphy stole Grandpa's car. She crashed it. She's okay, though. Hey, Dad.
Look at this. You're a grandpa. His name's Jesse. I kind of wanted to call him Coop, but Lois says, maybe next time. But Donald says he's already earned the great part, so we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, dear. Say bye-bye, Grandpa. Bye-bye, Grandpa. Okay.
Sorry, it's been a while. With Jesse and all. Grandpa died last week. We buried him out in the back 40 next to Mom and Jesse, which is where he would have buried you if you'd ever come back. Murph was there at the funeral, and we don't see her that much, but she came for that. You aren't listening to this. I know that. All these messages are just drifting out there in the darkness. Lois says that I have to let you go. And so I guess I'm letting you go. Wherever you are, Dad, I hope that you're at peace. And
Psalm 33 says this about your heavenly Father, how he sees you. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. God sees you. He knows you. He knows when you sit and when you rise. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And I think this clip of a father seeing 23 years of his kids' lives go in front of him, I think is maybe even a better picture of how God views us. He doesn't just view us in moments, although he humbles himself and is with us in moments, but he sees our entire lives all at once. All the emotion, all the love, all the affection that he has for us, overwhelming him in a moment, just like it did for Coop in those moments. But God doesn't just see us. He doesn't just observe us. He doesn't just watch us from afar. No, he loves us. He cares about us. And actually, as we continue to walk through this movie, even as the physics and the calculations and everything get more and more complicated, the theme of relationship, and particularly the theme of love, becomes really central. And this idea that love is the thing that binds people together, even across space and time, even across millennia and light years, love is something that can span those things. And so I want to read a quote from another scene where one of the doctors on the ship, Anne Hathaway's character, kind of comes to this conclusion on her own. And the context is they've gotten away from that one planet, and they have two other planets left. And they don't have enough fuel to go to both, and so they have to choose one of the planets to go and see if it has life. And so they get the data and everything, and there's one planet that looks a lot better. But it just so happens that Anne Hathaway's character used to be in love 10 years ago with the person who's on the other planet. And so she tries to make this case for why they should go to that one instead of the one that looks more promising from a practical perspective. And so Cooper is not having it. He wants to save the world. He wants to save his kids. He doesn't want just Anne Hathaway to meet, you know, her lover again or what have you. So Cooper goes to her and he says, "You're a scientist, Brand. Like, why are you caring about what your heart tells you? You're a scientist." She responds, "So listen to me when I say that love isn't something we invented. It's observable, powerful. Maybe it means something more. It has to. Something we can't yet understand. Maybe it's some evidence, some artifact of a higher dimension that we can't consciously perceive. I'm drawn across the universe to someone I haven't seen in a decade who I know is probably dead. Love is the one thing we're capable of perceiving that transcends dimensions of time and space. Maybe we should trust that, even if we can't understand it." "All right, Cooper, yes, the tiniest possibility of seeing him again excites me. That doesn't mean that I'm wrong." He responds somewhat cheekily, "Honestly, Amelia, it might." She's a scientist, but her love, her heart for this person she hasn't seen is driving her, and they end up going with the more scientific option. They don't listen to her, and it really goes bad for them. You can watch the movie to find out more. I don't think that they're saying, hey, you should never listen to the scientific data, you should never be practical about decisions, but I do love how even in this very scientific movie, they recognize that love is one of the most fundamental aspects of the universe. And yes, it's intangible, it's abstract, but it's somewhat quantifiable. And it's powerful in our lives, it's powerful in our decision making. And as we think about our Heavenly Father, and yes, how big He is and how far away He is and how we can't even comprehend a God who could make nebula and galaxies and black holes, and yes, you and I, so small in the grand scheme of things. And yet, His love is the thing that transcends space and time. His love is the thing that travels across planets and galaxies and universes to meet you and me as our Creator, as our Redeemer. Because God's love for you and for me transcends time and space. And the good news is that God didn't just watch us from afar. He doesn't just love us from afar, but He spanned galaxies and planets to get to us and to enter into history and save us. You know, this movie Interstellar is about a father who wants to travel through the heavenly places in order to fight for, in order to save his kids who are already his kids. But we were God's enemies. We had rebelled against Him. We had stiff-armed Him, turned our backs on Him, and yet He still sent His Son to travel through heavenly places for people who had rejected Him, and yet He did it to make us His sons and daughters, to make us His children, even though we weren't yet. In Galatians 4, Paul writes this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born in history, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." God sees it all. He sees the timeline. And He said, at the fullness of time, when time was just right, I sent my Son. And He took on time, and He took on space, and He took on matter. And He saved us, and He redeemed us. That's how much God loves you. That's how much He loves me. No matter how far away He feels, no matter the timing in your life right now, we can recognize, we can trust the fact that He sent Jesus. And so His love is greater maybe than we could imagine. And that's the encouragement that I would leave for us today. Yes, maybe His timing is better than you think, but His love maybe is greater than you think. He may feel far away. It may feel like He's abandoned you. It may feel like the pain is too great. But maybe, just maybe, we can recognize that because of how great God is, because of how big God is, because of His great love for us, maybe He actually cares more than you realize about what's going on around you right now. He just sees a different picture. This last clip we're going to see from Interstellar is kind of from the end, and it's a little bit hard to explain the context because basically the mission has somewhat failed. And they decide to just fly into a black hole, which no one has ever done. No one's seen what's on the other side of a black hole. And so the physicists who wrote this movie are kind of like imagining what that would be like. And what happens is that Cooper, Matthew McConaughey's character, begins to see another dimension of reality. And it's the dimension of time, but he sees it as a physical dimension. So he can kind of see time laid out before him and all of history before him. And he goes to that moment when he's leaving his daughter. And he's watching behind the bookcase, seeing himself leave, and he began to realize that he was the ghost. He was the one who knocked the books off the shelf, telling himself to stay, telling himself this wasn't worth it. My love for you was greater than this mission. And you see Murph, 30 years later, come to this same realization that her father actually hadn't abandoned her, hadn't been silent this whole time. And so let's check out this final clip.
Make him stay, Murph. Don't let me leave, Murph. Don't let me leave, Murph! No!
Father stretching through time and space to enter in to the history that his kid was experiencing. And what I want us to notice from that clip is that for 30 years, Murph, his daughter, thought that her dad had abandoned her, thought that her dad had forgotten about her. She hadn't heard from him. He hadn't sent videos or messages or anything. But it took her 30 years to realize that he hadn't actually abandoned her, but he was actually fighting for her. And he had been trying to communicate, trying to make it back, working as hard as he could for her good, for her life, for this relationship that he valued above everything. And I think that this is a picture for us that maybe it'll take 30 years for some things to make sense. Maybe it'll take longer. And the disappointments and the pain of life doesn't always work out great, even in this life. But maybe we can trust a God who loves us even more than that. Maybe we can trust a God who sent his son into history, demonstrating that everything that goes on, everything that we're experiencing, everything that we're facing is actually a part of a much bigger story with Jesus at the center. And so would you join me in considering just the possibility this morning that maybe God's timing is better than you think? Maybe in your life right now, you're so busy focused on the day that you can't see the decade, and yet God sees just that. Maybe you're so focused on watching the clock, but God's view, his purview is the calendar, and he has this bigger perspective. Maybe God's love is greater for you than you think. Maybe he's doing something in you. Maybe the pain that you're feeling is actually him doing surgery in your life. And it's healing you and it's saving you. Maybe the darkness that you see all around you is pointing you to him as the light in the midst of it all. But in this reality of our relationships and how space and time separates us, as we think about the bigness of God, he's on his throne, he's in control. He's so much other than we are, and yet love, God's love for us transcends all of that. It transcends space and time. It travels through heavenly places and galaxies and nebula and black holes. In the person of Jesus, he has demonstrated that he loves you and he loves me. And we can trust him and his timing in our lives, even if we can't understand it quite yet. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful for your love for us. So grateful for Jesus, that we don't have to wonder, that we don't have to question whether you are for us, whether you love us, but we look to him and we see what he did, who he was. We see how he went to the cross. We see how he raised up from the grave, conquering anything that could come against us. And so, Lord, in the trials of life, in the doubts that we face, in the distance that we feel from you, I pray that you would come to us and remind us of your great love that you displayed on a cross 2,000 years ago. I pray that when we question your timing and we're wondering where you are and what you're doing and why everything is working out how it is, that we would just be your kids who don't understand it all, who don't see it all, but can trust that our Father who loves us does. So would we, not just today, but all throughout this week, would you encourage us with that truth? Would you remind us to have hearts full of faith because of who you are? We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.